congregation is invited to stand. We follow the order of Divine Service 3, printed in the bulletin, starting with the confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for today is from Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power, by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning the good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The choir can come forward for the choir anthem.
Thank you.
epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what he pleases. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. We stand and sing the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The sermon is based on our reading from the Gospel from John chapter 10. And I begin by rereading the very first line in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am the good shepherd. There is a load of teachings from Jesus and promises from Jesus just in that sentence alone. This is well recognized, and we've heard in other services and sermons, this is one of the I am statements of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. And then in that language is the Hebrew word of God, Yahweh. I am the good shepherd. This accords with God as being our shepherd from Psalm 23. He is God. I am. He is also the good shepherd. Bible class from this morning, we talked about the light. Same principle here. The article there, the good shepherd, is part of this. He's not just a shepherd, one of many. He is the good shepherd, the one, of which there is no compare, of which is the highest goodness, of which is divine goodness. And he then tells us what he does for us in these following verses as God, as the good shepherd. He says he lays down his life for the sheep. That alone is a contradiction in human thinking of how can he be I am God and then also lay down his life for the sheep? How can he be God I am and die? And yet that is the good news, that the Son of God died and rose that we might be forgiven and God's people. So right there in the beginning phrase in verse 11 is a mystery of the Christian faith, but a deep, deep part of the good news. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, a self-sacrifice. There's so many things that are in these verses that I'm not going to catch everything. But one thing that we have, it talks about a hired hand who's not a shepherd, and the wolf comes and he doesn't protect the sheep and so forth. But one thing I want to emphasize and point out to you this morning in verse 12 is he's not like a hired hand and not a shepherd. Who does not own the sheep? It's a couple phrases into verse 12. Who does not own the sheep? Jesus owns us. He owns the sheep. He is our shepherd. He's bought us. That was in the hymn we just sung. And we are his own. And so he's watching over us. A pastor is an under-shepherd. And a good pastor then will want the sheep, all of us, pastors are sheep too, to know the good shepherd. The pastor does not own you. I do not own you. Jesus owns you, owns me, owns us together. And so he takes care of us. He cares intimately about us. He knows everything about us. And part of the warning here, there's a number of warnings here in verses 12 and 13, but part of the warning is watch out for those who don't own you or who don't care about the sheep, because they have nothing to do with the ownership of the sheep. They don't care about the sheep. They're going to take advantage of the sheep. Watch out for those. But Jesus, the good shepherd, owns the sheep, and he wants the best for his sheep, and he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus says in verse 14, again, he repeats, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And that knowing there, it's not just an intellectual knowledge, but it's a relationship. It's very much in the text. It's a relationship knowledge. It is an intellectual knowledge. He knows our names. He knows what happened to us yesterday and last year and 10 years ago and 80 years ago for some of us. And he knows what will be in 5 minutes and 10 minutes, in one day, in 10 days, in 10 years, however long we have in this life. He knows these things. But he also has gone through and watched over us. He knows what we're enduring. This is important for we sheep because we see fellow sheep, fellow Christians, maybe family members, maybe others related distantly or fellow Christians. And we see the struggle they are going through one way or another. Maybe it's a spiritual struggle of a weakness of faith or great temptation or perhaps a failure of faith, falling of faith, or perhaps illness, physical illness, or mental weaknesses, psychological problems. And we worry and we are concerned because we love them. Even distant fellow Christians that we're not related to, we love them. But sometimes then we also feel like we're forced to try to do something for them. And it's good to do something for them, but we forget or we lose sight of the fact that Jesus owns them. They are his sheep, and he is watching over them. And so as we pray to the Good Shepherd, we pray, take care of your sheep. Take care of my family people. Take care of those Christians on the other side of the world that are going through struggles. You're the Good Shepherd. He's a Good Shepherd. And he can take care of them. He wants to. He laid his life down for them. So while we feel for the struggles and the sufferings, and we do the good that we can to help along, the Good Shepherd is the one in charge. And he knows what's going on. He knows them intimately. And he is going through all these things with them as well. He says in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. This is part of being the sheep of Jesus, is that we listen for his voice. We hear for the gospel call. We hear for the gospel truths. And God's word, which directs us as his people, as the sheep of Jesus, how we should live, what we should be aware of, what we should watch out for, what we should cling to. And God directs us. We hear his voice in the scriptures. And Jesus is very clear, and there's other sheep. As he spoke to his disciples there, he's talked about another fold. Other people, not only those Jewish disciples there, but other people around the world and around the world and around the world. And before he ascended into heaven, what did he tell the disciples? Now you must go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you start in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth, because his sheep are to the ends of the earth. And as the message of Jesus Christ goes out, they hear, and they believe, and they are one flock. We are one flock together. There's sheep of his all around the world. As Jesus gives these promises and talks about how he takes care of the sheep and is calling sheep from around the world, he says he lays down his life and he takes it up again. Verse 18 is very important for us to remember. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. This teaching appears much in the Gospel of John and other places in Scripture too. Jesus is in charge, even when it was looked like he was arrested in the garden, he's put on these kind of not truthful trials, false witnesses, and trials by night in front of the Jewish leaders, and then brought before Pilate, and then Herod, and then Pilate. It looked like Jesus was not in charge. It looks like he was being led around. But he has authority, and he knew he had to lay down his life for the sheep. And if we look at the Old Testament scriptures, we see that what he went through was prophesied and promised to God's people, because that's how sins are going to be forgiven. That is God's way, that his son would die for us, that the shepherd would die for the sheep. And so in that whole suffering and dying, he is in charge. And in rising again, he is in charge. He has been given all authority over life, over death. And that authority continues to this day until he returns again in power and glory. His authority continues so that we don't have to worry about who's in charge, because we look around us and we can't even see who's in charge. Is it this or this or this? And if I vote for that guy, will he really be in charge? And if I vote for that guy, will he really be in charge? And we don't have anybody in charge. As we sort through those things in day-to-day, in business, school, life, politics, everything, who's in charge? We Christians know that Jesus is in charge. He has the authority. And so we know whether things look right or wrong, he is in charge, and he's going to bring it to completion in the way he wants. He is the good shepherd, above all. Very simple, but as we live through it each day, it gets deeper and broader, and we see it again, and then we forget a little bit, and we see it again. He is my good shepherd, and he really is taking care of me. And I really want other people to know that too. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for calling us to be your people, to be your sheep. Help us not to be afraid of others or to even be afraid of death, because you are in charge. And we are owned by you. You have paid for us, and you only want what is best for us. Help us to go through all things in daily life, good and bad, knowing that you're watching over all these things, and that you will not let us be snatched out of your hand, but rather you give us life everlasting. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We stand and sing the offertory. Pray the prayer of Zion Lutheran Church is printed in the bulletin. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. That the good shepherd of Israel, who has sought out his sheep and gathered us with them into one flock, would keep us always in his fold and guard us from every wolf and snare. Let us pray to the Lord. for those who have wandered from the flock of God, and for the faithful shepherds who gather them through God's word, let us pray to the Lord. For an increase in the love of Christian brothers one to another, especially into within our own homes, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ first did for us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of good government, that as the Paschal Lamb has wrought peace between man and God, so he would grant peace and good days also to our citizens between the nations of the world, and that we may, and all our neighbors, may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray for our food pantry, that it may be blessed and all may go well tomorrow at the distribution, and that not only physical foods and necessities be shared, but also that the Word of God and Christian fellowship be shared. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for our risen Christ, the first fruits from the dead, who has secured forgiveness for our troubled consciences, that he would also bless with temporal health those who suffer, we remember Margaret and Charlotte, Bernetta, Bill, Gary, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Mary Ellen, Sue and Steve, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Dave, Randy, Chelsea, Joe, Tim, Norma, Todd, Zachary, Brenda, Juanita, Judy, Sandy, Pat, and the Johnson family. That he would grant us aid not only in this moment, but also true immortal health in the world to come, let us pray to the Lord. For those who come to the Lord's Supper this day, that our Good Shepherd would calm all fears in this valley of shadow of death, through the holy table here prepared in the presence of our enemies, that he would give us repentance and an increase of faith, and that in our every tribulation or besetting sin, he would lead us to find comfort and strength in the overflowing mercy given to us in this sacrament. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, trust him, seek help and comfort in him. Heartily obey his voice and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, not in God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy
We pray our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, which is given for you. Take and eat the very body of Christ given for you. The congregation is invited to stand for the general dismissal. Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 You're invited to stand or sit for our final hymn, 793.